Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 3:15 p.m. and that is Central Time. And today is April 6th. So I hope everyone had a restful long weekend. And certainly we've had a lot of activity in the markets. Wall Street in particular was really very strong yesterday and gave up some of that, but advance in here today. We've also had a meaningful move in bonds, and gold has continued to bounce. But I thought I would kick off this broadcast by looking at some of the commodities, because Arabica coffee is bouncing from the region of the trend mean, but I think this has to be viewed in the context of a multi-year base formation, which has this clear rounding characteristic, and that's generally consistent with accumulation. So it would suggest that this lengthy period of time where we've had coffee prices that have been quite depressed may be coming towards an end. It's a similar story when we look at commodities like sugar. Sugar prices were also firmer in here today, bouncing from the region of the trend mean, but this looks like a first step above the base because it completed the three-year process of consolidation at the end of last year. It's come right back to test the lows from early this year, and now we have evidence of some support starting to come through. Of course, there are other commodities that have been doing substantially better, like lumber, and that was also up in here today by about $16 when I looked at it last. It's up 23 at the close, and clearly now pushing through that $1,000 area. And this is a very meaningful move. We're at clear new all-time highs, and no real sign yet that there is a supply response. In fact, hiring among the in the timberland and lumber sectors has been lagging the wider economy. That's despite the fact that people are working outdoors and out in the middle of nowhere, where they're very unlikely to catch anything other than a bad sunburn or a cold. But the reality is that this upward pressure is going to put our upward pressure on lumber prices is going to increase the cost of manufacturing homes, and that does have direct inflationary consequences. Then when we look at corn, there is a lot of institutional interest in corn, not least because of its inputs, because it's a significant contributor to what goes into gasoline these days through the ethanol process, but it did not hold onto the advance that we saw last week, and it's pushed back down into the range. There are more short positions being opened up in the wheat market, just from what we've seen in terms of institutional flows, but it is now back in the region of the trend mean, and we're at this do or die moment as well. So very similar pattern to what we have with both sugar and coffee, in that there is this clear rounding characteristic overall and a clear sequence of higher reaction lows over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, and it's now steadying in the region of the trend mean. So we certainly have evidence of renewed interest in the agricultural portion of the commodities complex. Then when we look at the LME Metals Index, it's continuing to pause here in the region of the 4,000, but it has very clearly broken out of the base formation that persisted for the previous 8 years. And I think that's by far the more important point. So we're getting a little consolidation, but it's nothing that anyone is particularly worried about. And then when we think about copper, well, it was in sharply positive territory yesterday, but then a little bit softer in here today. But so far, this has still been a reasonably consistent consolidation with a series of ranges, one above another. And as long as that remains the case, well, then we're still in a consistent uptrend. And that staircase sequence uptrend makes monitoring the uptrend really rather easy. Because as long as it's doing what it has been doing, then this is a consistent trend, and a consistent trend is a trend in motion, and we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Obviously, the $4 area is a level around which we're seeing some consolidation. But again, the bigger picture here is that copper prices are coming up towards the upper side of a 15-year range. And this has been a very lengthy consolidation overall. There isn't a great deal of new supply imminently about to hit the market, and yet there are ample sources of new demand that are emerging from the renewable energies sector. Also, in terms of the lithium price, we're continuing to see that there is continued demand for lithium overall. Perhaps it's just simply better to, I can't remember the ticker for the lithium price, but lithium ETFs have been all the rage, not least because they have also tended to hold shares like Tesla. But the lithium price remains on an upward trajectory and clear recovery as we look at the scope for continued build-out of battery manufacturing capacity. Because until quite recently, the global automotive sector had pretty much ceded the market to China. I think what's increasingly evident is that the Europeans are waking up to the very real possibility that unless they act in with a little bit more alacrity, they're going to end up with no automotive industry at all. And the clear determination by Volkswagen to pioneer the, I guess, or to become the European pioneer for electric vehicles, that represented a very significant pop on the upside for the shares ahead of the Easter break. We're probably due at least some consolidation, but at least it is now evidence that the market is taking seriously the ability of some of these legacy companies to transform themselves. And of course, it is likely to be really very beneficial for the metals that are parts of this emerging battery sector. The nickel price is now also right back in the region of the trend mean. It has a history of failing to sustain upward breaks, and that downward dynamic we saw in March was really quite acute, so it will need to hold the region of the trend mean in order to truly demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment and more likely to have a consistent trend. Certainly, there's been an uptrend in evidence for the last 5 years. But there's nothing consistent about it, and it has been extraordinarily difficult to make money from. So, in order for it to create the kind of consistent trend that will be easier to invest in and to trade, then it really does have to hold the region of the trend mean. Oil prices paused over the weekend and were a little bit steadier in here today, still holding this $60 area on Brent crude. We're still in an environment where investors are looking at the potential for a clear recovery from the pandemic. A big V-shaped recovery still is what the stock market is pricing in. Investors are a little bit less inclined to accept that at face value, but nonetheless, the oil price has rebounded. It's now back in the area where it should start to encourage more a clear supply response. So it's a lot easier to create a supply response in oil than it is in lumber or in coffee or in wheat, because we don't necessarily have to go off and grow new sources of oil. Everyone knows where they are, and that's obviously a mitigating factor in the potential for additional upside. I do apologize for my phone ringing. When we then think about the outlook for gold, well, it's unlikely that we're going to have a massive supply response there. It's the limited supply argument has been the primary tailwind for gold for decades. But the bigger question is about institutional demand. So gold prices were up an additional $15 today. gold is due at least $100 rebound. In fact, the bounces from $1,900 and $1,800 were in excess of $100. So we could quite easily see it rally back up towards the region of the trend mean. And the region of the trend mean is currently around $1,860. That was the region of the peaks from back in January and February. It was the region of the lows back in September and October. So there is both evidence of supply and resistance at that level. And if it can sustain a move above the trend mean, well, then we're definitely back in a demand-dominated environment. I do think that the potential is that we are moving back towards that kind of environment because we're finally starting to see some evidence that the selling pressure in the bond markets is beginning to abate. Both gold and treasuries peaked within a day of each other back in August, and the downtrend in treasuries has contributed to the downtrend in gold. Part of the reason why people have been selling both in tandem has been because of renewed enthusiasm about an economic recovery, but also because it isn't simply that isn't the only reason that people have been selling treasuries. It's also because the US government has been printing more of them than the Federal Reserve was willing to buy. And therefore, it was throwing the onus for supporting the market back onto the private sector, and the private sector didn't want them and were unwilling to buy at the prevailing yield until they had some evidence that there was going to be some kind of support coming through from the or additional support coming through from the Federal Reserve. Well, we started to see that last week, and it was in the repo market. The money market yields were getting down to negative territory. That was representing a challenge for the banks because they were seeing their deposits increase, and they were bumping up against the limits of how much they can accept in deposits. So they were putting money into money market funds. That was depressing yields, and money market funds can't break the buck. So they had to have some assistance. The Federal Reserve stepped in, so we've seen now some support coming through from the Federal Reserve that they are willing to intervene, and that has helped to stabilize bond prices right across the curve, and it's acting as a tailwind for gold as well. We're not likely to see this correlation between gold prices and treasury prices last indefinitely. But it is something that I think investors have been willing to give some credence to because of this question about the return of growth and the potential for an inflationary bias to emerge once more. So that's certainly something that we do need to monitor. Now, then, when we think about what's going on in the stock market, well, the pace of the S&P's advance has picked up. It was up for three consecutive days and pushing through that psychological 4,000 level for the first time, and it has been consolidating below it for most of the last 2 months. So it was a little bit weaker in here today, certainly not in a dynamic fashion. We're potentially now at a short-term peak because it hasn't got a particularly impressive record of holding breakouts over the course of this year so far, so we may see some pause in consolidation. There's still a lot of reticence to investors or to give credence to this bull market that we're seeing in on Wall Street and around the world. But the reality is that we are pushing up into new rarefied territory, and that the global economy is recovering, and that there is a lot of money still sloshing around. So when you have rounds of stimulus in the range of trillions, and then a recovering economy as well, it's rational to think that we should anticipate that asset prices would appreciate, and that's exactly what's happening. And as bond yields start to come back down because there are more buyers, well, then that should offer a tailwind to growth. So we may be beginning to see another rotation. So the Nasdaq has rebounded and it is now clearly put in a higher reaction low. It has broken the sequence of lower rally highs. This has been a pretty impressive rebound overall. It's companies like Google are certainly doing better, and it was up in really quite emphatic fashion yesterday and breaking up out of this most recent range. So Google is certainly leading the way in terms of the technology sector, and this has clearly been a an acceleration of that trend that's been underway now for more than a decade already. If we look at just simply a logarithmic scale chart and the trend since 2008, well, even on the log scale chart, we can see that it has clearly now started to pick up pace. So we've seen something of a rotation within the technology sector as well as a broader rotation. And we've certainly also seen that some of the recovery candidates have done quite well already. And we've already seen that a number of the higher growth portions of the market have been easing back. Then we can think about the IPO sector, which had come all the way back down to test the region of the trend mean, and it's bouncing. We can see that the biotechnology sector came back to the region of the trend mean, and it has bounced over the course of the last week or two. It's right in the region of the trend mean, so it's a logical area where we can ask the question whether there is going to be legs to this rebound in the growth sector. Then, of course, there's potentially that we're going to see more demand for defensive sectors. The consumer staples have broken up and out to new all-time highs as well. So we've had a big move in the growth sector. We've had then a rotation into more of the cyclicals, like the miners and the energy sector. And perhaps now what we're starting to see is demand more for the resilient portion of the market, namely the consumer staples and the utilities. And part of the reason for that is as we move back into the more mature phase of the recovery, we've had a lot of the rebound already. Now we need to see that the economy is opening up. I've been staying at a hotel now nearly for 2.5 weeks, and it's quite clear that the Marriott Group is being very cautious about bringing back additional staff. So they're waiting for demand to increase, and then they're bringing back people. Having spoken to a number of the staff, it's the people that are working today are those that are sick to death of being at home. There was one lady in particular said that she couldn't wait to get out of the house because her family were driving her crazy. She's got a number of mature children who were asking her to cook meals for them and look after the kids, and she just wanted to go off and have her nails done and get her hair done and come back to work. And I think that as we move into more of a recovery, then people are going to be given an ultimatum that they will have to come back to work or they will lose their jobs. And that is a big decision because a lot of people are still making more from unemployment than they would from working. And it is setting up something of a catch-22 because politicians are going to be castigated for taking back rather generous unemployment benefits. It's going to put upward pressure on wages. Or it is perhaps additionally going to influence employers to bring back fewer workers and to make those workers more efficient. So obviously there are challenges on both sides of this, and it is likely to come right down to the iron law of wages, and wages will generally settle around the point where people are or can subsist on. And we are certainly seeing more demand for higher wages, and not least because asset prices are increasing, commodity prices are increasing, the price of housing is increasing, and the price of second-hand vehicles is increasing. So even on an iron law of wages basis, then the potential is that we will have more demand for wage growth. And of course, that also brings back the potential for consumer staples to regain pricing power, which is exactly what we see in the early stages of an inflationary cycle. So it's potentially now that we're looking at I think another rotation and into more of the steady and quality areas of the market. We're also seeing that mid-caps are back on a clear recovery overall. So the FTSE 250 is now right in the region of the peaks from early 2020. When we then think about the mid-cap sector in the USA, it has clearly been outperforming. The MDAX in Germany has also been outperforming, and it is consolidating above this range that's been forming for over 3 years. When we then look at what's going on in Japan, the Bank of Japan looks to be quite eager to devalue the currency, and the second section index is coming back up to the upper side of this 3 year range. The Nikkei index continues to pause around the 30,000 level, but it looks like a consolidation, not anything other than that. This, I think, is perhaps the most important point when we look at the majority of stock markets. We do not have evidence of top formation development. Obviously, we've had these incredible pullbacks last year, and there's a lot of fear that those kinds of pullbacks are about to be repeated. But it's very unusual to see that kind of activity, that you could get more than a 30% pullback 2 years in a row. Rather, we're more likely to see increasing rounds of stimulus to ensure that we are going to have a clear economic recovery, because that's the only possible way that the debts taken out over the course of the last year are ever going to be paid back. There's just no way that the kind of tightness in liquidity that would anticipate a big decline is going to be tolerated. So it's much more likely that we're going to have a lot more stimulus, and that there will be a much greater focus on fiscal stimulus after this crisis than there was after the GFC in 2008 and 9, and that is likely to be to end up being inflationary. We haven't yet seen a lot of evidence of the inflation coming up in official statistics, and official statistics are probably going to be fairly loopy for at least the next 3 or 4 months because of the year-over-year comparisons. But as we get into the third quarter, well, then we're probably going to have a better idea of what kind of inflation we're likely to have. And I think that is perhaps why we're starting to see more of a move towards defensives. Now, it is also worth considering that the clear outperformance of defensives, it has generally been a lead indicator for trouble in the wider market. And obviously, the role of liquidity and the extent to which central banks and governments are willing to support one another, then that is going to be the deciding factor in how prolonged the bull market we have after this recovery. It's, I think, quite likely that we're going to have governments and central banks working hand in hand for the foreseeable future. And that is likely to, I think, continue until we get to a point where inflation is taking off and interest rates are rising, and then it's likely that some of the big unanswered questions about debt will in fact have to be answered. But it's unlikely that that's going to be the case in 2021. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.